left right now, we would have such a blessing.
But I want to share something with you. The Lord woke me up the other night. Does that almost every night, and I love it. And my eyes turned to a particular scripture I had opened up. And if you'll turn, please, to the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. The thought was that Jesus was being persecuted. He was being ridiculed. In fact, he was being hated. And the Bible says they sought to kill him. We'll find this in John, chapter 11, verse 53. Then, from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. We'll speak to you about the thought that Jesus' last journey before Calvary. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And what a rejoicing time that was. He had been dead, but now he's raised from the dead. And there were some there that went back to Jerusalem and told all the leaders, religious people, what had happened. And they started trying to make sure that he would not be their leader. They did not want Jesus to be their Lord. So they rejected him. And when Jesus was rejected, and when Jesus is rejected, Jesus will leave and go somewhere else. Bear in mind, this is just an introduction message this morning to a series of messages that the Lord has put on my heart entitled, Jesus is going to leave on his last journey one of these days in your life and mine. We know he's soon coming. And right now, a lot of people are trying to put his ministry to death. Churches don't want him anymore. They're still assembling together. Our nation, obviously, as a whole, and the leaders in our nation don't want Jesus. They're passing all kinds of laws. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to take his last journey. We want to look about that, and let's see, when he was rejected, I want to see that he will be received somewhere. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The Bible says he left there, he would go no more. They had been used to, in the common, seeing his miracles, raising the dead like Lazarus, and healing those that were blind, and causing the lame to walk, and the deaf to hear, and those that could not have any hope at all. He gave them hope. But now the Bible says he walked no more. This was his last journey before Calvary. So if he was rejected by some, and he is today, Jesus will be received where he goes next. Look at the text in Mark chapter 10, verse 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort. That means they come to. They assemble with him. Unto him again. Wasn't the first time. Jesus loves to go back. We've had a wonderful time this morning. Jesus loves to be in the midst of those that love to assemble with him and to worship him. And the Bible says, as he was wont. That means as he was accustomed to. Because when Jesus is Lord, and when people receive him as Lord, they want to assemble themselves together. They want to be with him. And he wants to teach them, and they will hear. So he taught them again. So Jesus was rejected, but he went somewhere where he was received. Now let's look thirdly at Jesus' resolve, or his purpose, is to help those people that want to be helped. A lot of people don't want to be helped. A lot of people don't want to be saved because they don't want him as Lord. Or they want to go to heaven when they die. But see, it's more than that. You have to make sure that you go to heaven, but he will come in your heart and give you that joy and peace. And then you desire to walk with him, to worship him, and adore him. So Jesus' resolve or his purpose or his goal is to make sure, and begin at Luke chapter 13, verse 20, through Luke 18, 14. That's five chapters. And these five chapters in Luke is what I want to be going through in the next few weeks, Lord willing. And that's the only place in the scripture that mentions this journey as he is leaving the Jews. As he's on his last journey, just a few months now, he goes across the Jordan River. And we're going to see, begin this morning, and there's 15 different things that is mentioned by Luke in these chapters that's mentioned nowhere in the scripture. I don't know why God does those things. It's not my place to find out why he does it, but I want to know what he did. And I want to know what he has for me. So now he is giving us the opportunity as he is going. First of all, he went about 15 miles from Bethany up to Ephraim, up through the country. And as he was going there, the Jews were probably happy to get rid of him because the scripture just told us they had saw a plan to kill him. And when religion and people try to heal the influence that Jesus has on their life as a people, as a church, as a nation, as a family, he won't mess around. If he's rejected, he will leave so he will be received. And then we say his resolve or his purpose is to help somebody, as we're going to see. So I want to look for a few minutes now at Jesus' words of encouragement, his words of recovery. These people across the Jordan River, they were discouraged, just like a lot of people are. But see, they had heard him before. He goes to teach them again. And the Bible says, as he goes, they assemble themselves again and again and again because he wants the resolve to help them. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And the first story he has now in this, after he goes across the Jordan River, we're going to read this morning. This is the first mention of something he did. There's 15 different ones that he's going to talk about in the next five chapters in the book of Luke. But isn't it interesting? You might think that what's he going to do? And Jesus is always doing something new. But see, his purpose is to bring glory and honor to God. And the first place he goes is to a synagogue. That doesn't surprise me because oftentimes and hundreds of times the Lord's pointing out to me as I'm preaching that anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. And look at it again, you just can't miss it. Verse 10, chapter 13, the book of Luke. There was only one verse in Mark that told us after he left Bethany, and he went to Ephraim, and that verse that we just read introduced the fact, but then don't talk about it anymore, and now Luke picks up on it, and for these next five chapters. But I want to look at just one of those, the first one, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. No doubt he had done a lot of other things after he left Bethany, but the first one he mentions to let us know the importance of it, because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And a lot of people make light and don't think anything is important about his church. Oh, it has utmost importance, because he built everything upon himself. He is the rock. And then the Bible says in verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. A picture of those in sin, those that have never come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And not only physically bowed over, but she was spiritually bowed over. And a lot of people, you notice, when things good happen, they can smile and they can laugh and they can rejoice. But then, if it's not something really pleasant going on, there's no joy, no peace. It seems they go through life all stooped over, all bent over. I'm not talking about a physical condition only. I'm talking about a spiritual condition. So Jesus sees that. He sees everything, as she already mentioned this morning. He knows our thoughts. He knows your plans. So many times he has interrupted me, and thank God for it, as I'm thinking about a certain situation, and I'm having the thought, this is what I'm going to do. Many times he has interrupted my thought pattern and says, no, that's not the way you're going to do it. I've already got purposed and figured out. I brought you into this. I orchestrated it. I planned it. I led you into it. And don't you think I have the plan? We're going to follow your plan. So this woman that day, no doubt, going to that synagogue, all bent over with an infirmity that she could not raise herself. But now Jesus saw that. He sees you this morning. He knows your condition spiritually. He knows everything about us. You may have come to church this morning because it's your duty to him, the house of God, but you may have come in a manner that was not very pleasing because a lot of things wrong. Could be your health, it could be someone's health, whatever it is, you're just all bent over in your spirit. But Jesus sees you. Look what the text says. And when Jesus saw her, not only did he see her, but he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. For 18 long years she had been in that condition, all bowed over, and the Bible says could not pick herself up. Hey, when you're all bent over in sin and iniquity and all the infirmities of the world, you can't do anything about it. There's no way of you picking yourself up. For 18 years she struggled. Some people spend a lifetime in their sins. And then people get saved and they don't want to follow the Lord. They've made him Lord of their life, but they've rejected him for whatever reason. They've quit church. They may be saved, may not be saved. I don't know about that. But somewhere in their life, they're just all bowled over. But Jesus sees. And he calls. And he beckons. And he says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. Only Jesus can do that. But the woman has to be willing to accept what Jesus wants to give her. And now look what happens after this woman has been addressed. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. It takes us a long time to get out of certain conditions. In fact, we try to get out of certain conditions spiritually, you'll never make it. We struggle, we plan, we purpose. And the week goes by, and the year goes by, and 18 years goes by, and it just gets worse. And is it amazing when Jesus called and spoke the word, immediately she was loose because she accepted it. And now she is glorifying God and giving praise and honor to him. But the world doesn't like that. Religion doesn't like that, but it doesn't hinder the woman or those people that have received the touch of the Lord. Look what happens. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Rules and regulation. You don't do it like they want it done. Always finding fault, particularly finding fault with Jesus. But the songwriter says, I find no fault in him. Jesus saved me. He raised me up. He removed the stain of sin. And now we praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And the woman still glorifying God regardless of what anybody else does. You see, we live in a world of chaos. We live in a world that doesn't appreciate the goodness of God. They, as a whole, have rejected him. But he doesn't seem to be without someone because he's going to go somewhere where he is received. They reject him, he just leaves. And this is a last, he'll never go back. He's going to make this long journey for a few months. It's going to be about a 60-mile journey as he's traveling this last journey in the book of Luke and a little bit farther on. And he'll end up going back through Jericho, and then he goes back to Jerusalem. And then he goes to a place called Calvary. But he doesn't go back to minister to the Jews anymore because this is his last journey. I wonder if you're here today or you're watching by way of internet. You may have rejected him over and over again. You may have said no. You may have come to a place and you may be saved and you're not following the Lord. You've got something hindering you. This could be the last journey that Jesus deals with you. Listen intently. The people won't like it. And the religious crowd doesn't like it. But the woman seems to be glorifying and praising God. But listen to what Jesus says. It doesn't bother him what other people say and do. People think they can do something to hurt the Lord. Hey, he's not coming back to be hurt anymore. He's on the throne. He is in control of the nation. A lot of people, you know, this global warming deal and everything, they're trying to say that man's in control. And the whole purpose of evolution and the teaching of it was to say that man is in control. But Jesus is on the throne. He's still been rejected by the world, but he's still going to people that will receive him. And you and I are here this morning to receive the teachings of the Lord. He wants us to learn and know more about him. Look what Jesus said in verse 15 and 16. And the Lord answered him and said, "The hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose an ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So he mentions in this setting, this synagogue, only one thing. That he had saw this woman and he had spoken the word, she had received, she was healed, she's rejoicing. But the scriptures just told us there were many other things that were done. A lot of people do have something done for them and it's visible. We see it. So many of us, so many times, get a touch of God or something that straightens our life back out. And we rejoice. Others don't know the circumstance, nor do they need to know. But yet, they now are rejoicing in him. Look what the scripture says. For all the glorious things, the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You may be here this morning, you've worshipped, and we've heard the great music and the great singing from the two small children and from this group. How blessed it is. And the world doesn't understand, but we understand. We received him. We're not rejecting him. If you're here this morning, don't reject the Lord. Because he goes from here and 14 other things he's going to do in this next journey that no one else mentions except the book of Luke. Lord willing, we're going to take him one by one because there's a lesson for it. There's a meaning. There's a purpose for everything Jesus has said and done, not just to them, but for you and for me. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. The Edwards family is going to come back and sing a song of invitation. Altar is open. Lord's touched your heart. He's convicted you, perhaps, or maybe you're just thankful that he has got you to this place this far. Just come and praise him. Altar is open. If you're here this morning and you've been rejecting him, he will go away, and perhaps for the last time on the last journey. This was so true. He did not go back to teach the Jews anymore, nor would he ever again. And the world has hated him, and America has slowly rejected him. But he'll go to those that will receive him. That could be you, because he came to let us understand and know. He knows where we are this morning. Would you just praise him and honor him and come to the altar and seek the Lord while he may be found?
just bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your side is getting dim, oh, it sure is good to know.
God allows us to go through different situations. He's teaching us that we can depend on Him. It's a wonderful congregation this morning. A lot of issues here. Thank you for coming. If you're interested in finding a church that loves you and preaches the word and ministers to you, church doors are open. You membership committee is going to be standing here as we leave if you'd like to join a church by baptism, by letter, or by acknowledgement that you've already been baptized. Come and talk to them. We'll have a time set up where we'll talk to you, make sure you're saved. We've had a lot of people in the course of the years, I've been here almost 30 years, about seven Catholics that came, and we love to have Catholics, Jews, and everybody, and won't join church, but talking to them, they hadn't got saved. The requirement to join the church, of course, is salvation. Amen. but we'd like to talk to you. You may have questions for us. We don't know all the answers, but the Lord does. We have enjoyed so much this morning. They go to our son Darren's church at Bethel, Spruce Pine, and I'm sure they miss them when they're not there, but we're proud they're here. We rejoice in the Lord. As you leave this morning, if you'll put the regular offerings in the offerings plate, the men have those, and the ladies have the offering plate for our singers. Appreciate them being here so much. And the visitor's cards, put them anywhere back there, and we'll find them, okay? We're happy to have you. Let's go to God in prayer, and Brother Gunn's going to come and pray with us and for us. We just rejoice in Him. Hope of glory.
Let's pray. Father, we rejoicing this morning, Father, when You loosed us from our mess and the muck, the mire, the sin that we were in, and made us straight in Your eyes. Lord, I'm thankful for the presence of that You bestowed upon us this morning, Father, You passing by and visiting it with Your people. And Lord, no doubt this past year we failed You and we fell short of the mark, but Father, You have been faithful. As Paul said in Timothy, when we believe not, He is faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. And God, I'm thankful Your faithfulness does not depend upon me, but Your God, and I thank You for that. And Lord, I pray, Father, in the congregation this size, no doubt, there may be one in here, maybe many in here, that's never been loosed, never been touched, never called upon Your name as Lord and Savior. Lord, give them another chance. Father, You came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, I pray that You give them the faith to call upon Your name. We love You and we bless You, Lord, and thank You for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.